Great. Testing. Okay, this is September 26, 1985, and we're at Sally Hudson's home in Fairbanks, and this is tape SH number 2. This is Yvonne interviewing.
That's some kind of buzz.
Well,
somehow this electricity is making it buzz, so I'm going to use battery.
I wonder if it's, what is it?
Maybe I'll try this other plug.
Could it?
This plug's okay. Okay. Well, where we stopped was you going into the fifth grade, just entering, and you wanted to go stay with your grandmother, so you wouldn't have to go to school. Did she try to make you go to school?
No. I don't think she said anything about school.
So what did you do with her after that?
Let's turn it off for a little while to kind of think. I don't know what we did. Ran around. It's not on. Okay. I'm just after my mother died, and there was many nights that I spent with Kitty, my cousin, and Ellen Roberts, and then Antro Woods. Now, her name is Woods now, would teach us further sewing, you know. Or we'd play pinochle, and oh, golly, there's so much we did, but I don't know what's important. And she helped us a lot with her sewing, as just playing, I guess.
Had Kitty and them, did they lose their mother too? This
Kitty Mayo Evans, her mother was an aunt of mine, my mother's sister, and they lost their mother before my mother went. So it was five children there too that was didn't have a mother, but Aunt would took care of them.
What was you said it's. What was her name? Woods now? The one who was teaching you? What's her?
At that time, her name was Roberts, Anto Roberts.
Anto? So, you feel like she just kind of wanted to help and teach you things since you didn't have a mother?
She was always showing people how to, she was quite a seamstress. And, if you needed help or she knew a better way to do it, she'll just show you.
She had children of her own, but still had other people.
Three of her children all were in the States. So. But she just had the two at home. During this time, the young men, they spend a lot of time at Clem Anderson's Fox Farm, which was right in town. But Clem had a radio, and I don't know whether those boys ever worked as hard for anything in their life as they did for this radio, for the reception to come in louder. And I suppose we went up there too, but I don't remember too much of it. But you could barely hear the music from San Francisco. And my brother Alfred learned some songs from this radio. And the Fox Ranch was up on the hill, and they strung wires clear down to the river and chopped a hole in the ice to make a better ground to try to bring so that a reception be louder and clearer. And they just worked at that thing all the time. The only way they made it come in louder was all holding hands, holding the radio and making a circle. But
would they listen to it like that?
Uh-huh.
They sit there holding hands?
Yeah. Uh-huh. It brought new tunes to our dances because the boys would learn those songs from the radio. And we would sit snares and catch rabbits for this Fox Ranch and sell the rabbits for 2 for 25 cents. All the kids sit snares, even adults. And
well, what you mentioned they'd have new tunes for the dances. And what the dances were like, where were they?
In the dance hall. Go?
What would it look like? How did people act?
All the women sat on one side and all the men on the other side or around the stove. Seemed like the men always sat around the stove. And they were great. They were square dances. And of course, by that time there was a little more modern dances coming in. They didn't dance too much of the young people didn't dance too much of the two steps and polkas or those kind of things. I'm not getting anywhere. Just flip it.
I was just wondering if it's different from dances today.
Oh, absolutely. It's altogether different because they were real dances. And at 12 o'clock, you have coffee or whatever you might have with it. I don't know if there was much of cakes or it seemed like we always had something to nibble with. At 12 o'clock, you have coffee. And the dances stop there. And then pretty soon, they start up the dances. And then you just continue dancing. They would dance so long a time, and then with your partner, you walked around. All the partners walk and walk like this, and then they start up that same tune again, and then you would dance more, and then the dance was over.
It would be real late.
Oh,
when
yeah.
It was over.
Mm-hmm.
So they have all different ages?
Oh, yeah. All the kids. And they at this dance hall, they had two ladies' rooms. They were rooms about way bigger than this. And there'd be a big heater stove in there. And, nobody had babysitters at that time. So you could bring your babies and they sleep right in the sled. There weren't too many dances in the summertime. Everybody was so busy, but wintertime was.
So they just bring the sled in and mm-hmm. use that like a
Boat. Crib. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All the babies sleeping in there, all the young kids, as the older kids get sleepy, just put them in that sled.
So would people come from long ways to go to dances?
Mm-hmm.
Do they pick a certain occasion or just anytime people? How do they decide to have a dance?
Oh, if new people are in town, oh gee, that's the first thing you think about is a dance. Dance was the big thing at that time. Anything to dance. The dances were so much nicer at that time. It was more formal.
Formal in what way?
You get dressed up for the dance. Really, your very best, which wasn't very much, but not doing a good job.
Oh, you are. This is.
Some of us wore long dresses, but always moccasins with it, because we didn't, hardly any of us had any shoes.
People try to have their fancy moccasins or make sure
Oh,
they have.
you had fancy moccasins for this special occasion all the time. And dresses, we'd wear dresses down to our ankles to go to these dances. You really would have got dressed up. So they were formal dances. And the men didn't wear suits, but they wore dress shirts and dress pants. Like I say, then at 12 o'clock there's lunch. When I was real small, they used to make sandwiches. You're on? In 1927, although my mother wasn't very well, she suggests that we go to Tanna for the 4th of July celebration. They used to have a lot of games and walking that greasy pole across the Incy Creek and races and so many things that they didn't have at Rampart. So my mother, my older brother Alfred, and I, then my cousin Arthur Mayo and Kitty Mayo Evans get in this little poling boat, they call it. And we drift the 75 miles to Tanna for maybe 4 or 5 days of dancing, games, and visiting with all the people in Tanna. And it was such an exciting thing to get in that boat and drift and stop along the way and make your tea. And after, because Mom wasn't well, then she would see to it that we get to the dances, and she'll come along with us. And when it was time to go home, we just went home. And they really had good music at the Moose Hall. Violin, piano, guitar, mandolin. Tanna used to be the nicest place to go for the better dances, and you really got dressed up with the best of whatever you had, and new moccasins. Of course, new moccasins beaded. And then it seems like the 2 years that we did that, Harry Sam from Stevens Village would be going back up the river, and so he would fix the boat ahead of his launch, they called it, and push this poling boat. And it always took us 2 days to go from Tamna to Rampart.
Going back up?
Mm-hmm. 2 full days.
Going down took how long?
I don't remember how long it took us to drift. But anyway, we get to the rapids and on this side of the river, not the island side, well, all of us have to get out. Only the one, maybe the two men would stay in the boat. And we walk the beach and over those big boulders while they try to bring the boat through that swift, swift part. Sometimes it took quite a while because they keep drifting back. And then after we get up a ways, then we get back into the boat. It takes us quite a while to get through the rapids because the water is so swift. And those motors wasn't strong.
How long a distance is that where the part where you walked?
Oh, and just half a mile or something like that. It was no 1 mile. It wasn't that. It wasn't far. But when the water is high, it's kind of scary because you climbing over these big boulders, you look right down and there's all that water.
That's steep.
Steep. Mm-hmm. And everybody liked dancing so much. The dances weren't only down at Tanana. They also had a beautiful dance hall up at the mission. So there was a dance going on either place or one or the other place. And people came from Cross Jacket and from all over. So it was really.
Were they coming from way up town number for those days too?
Mm-hmm.
Like Tana Cross?
Oh, no, not from way up there.
But Nina and places like
that? Uh-huh. From Camp Tishna and those places.
That's where people would get to know each other.
Mm-hmm. They really did. When we had to walk over those boulders there at the rapids, there wasn't anything because we were used to wherever we went by boat, well, we'd be walking along the beach pulling the boat by tow line while the older mother or grandmother or whoever has to steer that boat to keep it from going over the rocks. There was a few people that traveled that way, and the dogs, they hook up 2 or 3 dogs to pull the boat, or you go fast. And some of those dogs are that they've done that so much, they're well trained, they stay right at the edge of the water. And they're so happy to be loose or to be running. And then when you come to a fish wheel, you gotta unhook the dogs and take them way above the fish wheel. Then you gotta row around the fish wheel. So.
Do you have a heavy load?
Oh, sometimes, not very.
The way
Grandma and I traveled, that we didn't have anything heavy anyway. I'm thinking of feather mattress and those kind of things, caribou skin mattress, you know, with the fur on it. Little tiny Yukon stove, a few pots and pans, mosquito net, and the single shot 22.
That was the only gun?
Mm-hmm.
Or anything?
Anything. anything. There was no bears that time, though. Very few.
Well, the inboard motor, like Carrie Sam had, how many horsepower was that? These days were small. Four? Three?
Five, I think. Something like that.
They had seven when they got big.
I remember after we were married, after I was married, we had a Universal, and it seems to me it was 15 horsepower. Boy, we went fast.
I thought you were just speeding around.
Anyway, 1929, Mom was really down in bed then, and it was between Christmas and New Year, and Harold and Walter was carrying mail for Dad, and a bunch of us decided to go to Manly Hot Springs for dance site. That's all we thought about was dancing. So I told her we were going to do this, and she said, go ahead. And so there was, golly, I can't remember all the girls that were there, but there was one, two, three, four boys, and about four girls, I guess. We all left Rampart with two teams and went 21 miles the first day and stayed overnight at the mail cabin. And then the next day we started off in the morning, which was early because it takes, I think we just played around most of the time. It takes us all day till dark to get anywhere.
And we were playing around. You said you were playing in the snow. And...
uh-huh. We started over this summit, and the hot snow was just so hard as the floor. And we run all over on the top of that summit, and then run and drop to our knees. And we all had caribou skin mukluks that come up way above our knees, and we'd drop to our knees and then slide way down the hill. And William Carlo, I could just see him. He was full of the Dickens. Then when we got to Manly Hot Springs, there was hardly any women, and there was the Westerland girls, and they were the only children there, young people there. So the adults, they were really happy to see young kids. We stayed at the same lodge that's standing it to this day. And then we went up to the bathhouse. Tex Browning had that bath, the hot springs in. And because he knew our parents in Rampart, he told us to get in the pool, and we didn't have to pay. And I don't think... It was a different pool, and we couldn't have gone in the water if he didn't say it was free, because I don't think any of us had 25 cents in our pocket. And to tell you the truth, I don't know who paid for the hotel room. I just don't know. So we got in that water, and not all together. The boys The boys spend a lot of time in there swimming. The girls got in later. Then we got back to the roadhouse, and here these people had all these lovely gifts for us. Just all kinds of things. I could remember the tapestry tablecloth that was given to me.
So who was giving these presents?
All the old timers, the men. I don't know who all donated money.
It was a special occasion?
And just because we came over, and it was between Christmas and New Year, and they were so happy to see new young people. And I'm not sure if the boys got any money, but each one of we girls got a $5 bill, which was my first $5 bill that I ever had in my life. And we went over to the NC, and I don't know what the girls bought with their $5, but I bought beads. And that $5 filled a cigar box. And in fact, I still have some of the beads from that time, because it's something that you don't use, because the color of the green is just painted on the inside, and if you use it for leaves, you know, or stems or something in your sewing, after a little while it's just glass, because the color comes right off. So of course, while we were at Manly, there was a dance, and that was really fun, dancing with new people. And then we went back to back to Rampart. Took us 2 days to get back to Zachary Reese was along with us. He was a cousin of my mother's, and he left us there and went on to Tanna, and at the time we didn't even know he had TB, and it seemed like it was just 4 or 5 months later he was dead.
He was young?
Uh-huh. He wasn't very old. I don't know how old. He was much older than Harold and Walter, but to me he was young.
Must have been in his 20s.
Oh, he must have been close to 30s, maybe. Mm-hmm. And so that was quite a trip for all of us.
Was that your first trip to Manly, to Hot Springs?
Uh-huh, it was.
First.
I think we must have stayed 2 days, because there was... oh dear, I forgot his name. He took care of the wireless station, and the house where he lived was where the bridge is now. And he invited us down to play his records, and that really was fun. He had stacks and stacks of records, and they were new to us, and music was something that we all liked so well. So we spent a couple hours there playing his records. And to watch him work that wireless, sending messages, was something new to us too. And so everybody there was so kind to us.
Were there a lot of people then?
A lot of men, older men. I'm not sure if Clara Archie Pringle was single then, but I don't know if Clara was there then or the following year. She was teaching school there. And oh, they were such handsome people. They really were nice. Then, so anyway, that was my first trip to Manly. Stanley Dale was about 18 years old, or no, he must have been about 17 or around there. Just a young, young man. Turn it off. Turn it off. That when we went to Manly, that was really an exciting adventure, I guess you would call it, because we didn't do too much traveling. It was hard getting here and there, and people didn't play. Seems like they didn't play around so much, go somewhere just for nothing. And still, others did. In the wintertime, Dad was carrying the mail. In the summertime, at a time was a busy time in summertime because you would sell, because I was so young then, they cut all the fish that they can possibly cut and dry. Because you sold tons and tons and tons of dried fish, dogfish, to Fort Yukon. People at Fort Yukon has never, ever fish. They go out to their trap line in the fall time in September, and they stay out there till June. And then summer months they don't bother because they're rich people. They were up way up where all the furs were. So
they don't have much fish coming through there.
I don't know. But they used to have a barge just loaded with baled fish from down the river, and salmon bellies, strips, kegs and kegs of blueberries. That's another thing they didn't have at Fort Yukon. And see, they had money up there. Blueberries. The women would put the blueberries in the barrels like you would the salmon bellies. So summertime was really busy, busy time. Right after 4th, there's no more playing around. You just stay right in fish camp and dry as much fish as you can. And we had to help baling these fish to the... I think they weighed about 50, 60 pounds to bale. And so this trip to Manly was really something. We tried to get Walter to take us over to a man that lived in the house that his horse lived in.
He lived in the same house as mm-hmm. horse?
Mm-hmm.
Lived with his horse?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Right across from where our house is right now. But Walter wouldn't take us over there.
Walter used to go back and forth all the time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Then as you're going along, you, on the mail trail, you always have a little package for somebody along the way, or mail or something, and it was a big treat to be asked to come and have a cup of tea, if you had the time. Or if they weren't there, it was all right if you made a cup of tea. And gosh, I'm trying to think. I don't want to leave out something that's kind of important. In the springtime, everybody from Tanana would be going up to Stevens Village to go after muskrats. That was really exciting times. All these dog teams coming around the bend, one after the other. Oh boy. A big dance that night, that's all we'd think about. Everybody went up the river and stayed. This would be in April. They go up by dog team and then stay up there till the first part of June and then drift down the river on rafts. And that was nice. They build a real nice, sturdy raft, and maybe two or three families would share this raft. And you set up your Yukon stove, put up a tent, all your dogs, your sleds, everything is there. And it's...
So they just have their wood stove going and mm-hmm. warm in there and cook? And
Mm-hmm. Later on in the years, we did it in 40 and 41. And the only bad thing about it is if it's the sun is hot and on that water, it's so miserable on that water. So you have to make some kind of shade. So it was good to put the tent up. And nobody was in a hurry. You couldn't be in a hurry drifting. Only danger there would be is if a big wind came up suddenly, which I never heard of happening, because if the wind starts a little bit, you go closer to the shore one side or the other. Anyway, in January of 1931, is everything going all right? What do you hear when you put that on?
There's a little buzzing. Oh, I know what that is, the refrigerator.
Yeah. Tommy Evans and I decide to get married, and I was very young, And we knew that my parents wouldn't, my mother was gone, but my dad and my grandmother wouldn't want it. And so we decided to elope, run away and go to Manly Hot Springs and get married. So Addie and I don't know if she'd like names mentioned, went out on the road early in the morning, pretending to go to snares, our rabbit snares, and then my brother Walter and Tommy came along and we jumped on their sleds and away we went to Manly. And got to Manly and went over to Tex Browning. He was a commissioner. No questions asked, just we're going to get married. You didn't have to take a blood transfusion or anything. So we were married January 10th, 1931. And then the only thing that really scared me was the dress I was wearing. They said, get married in black, you wish yourself back. Don't put that in.
Okay.
And so I was married up at where Chuck Dart's, near where his old bathhouse is right now, right in there. And then the next day, oh, then of course word got out that we were getting married, and again those people there just bought us all kinds of gifts. I wonder how I thanked them, because you know, just all kinds of blankets and dishes, you know, pots and pans. I was scared. Scared to go home, I'll tell you. After the thing happened, I was scared to go home. But in them, again, I was excited. And but we got back to Grand Park, and then Grandma came down. This part you won't put in. That's the only time I ever saw my grandmother cry so hard. Just really cried. I made up my mind that I was going to do everything under the sun to make her feel, well, I was wrong in crying about it. But he was very good to her. So then, start raising your family. Along came Alice, Mary Jane, Tommy, and Lily. They were good years. A lot of work. But everything we did, nobody complained, because it was your lifestyle, you know. One good thing, you know, there was just no worries about meeting a deadline, like paying the rent, those kind of things. You didn't have that pressure. There was no money. Everything was trading. And we lived good. But you had to work hard to live good. There wasn't anything that today I regret doing. The only thing was, like I said, by this time I'm an adult and you're still cutting all this fish to sell to the stores in Forticon. At the end of season, fishing season, it was very discouraging because you don't have enough money. You hadn't made enough money from that fish to buy new clothes for the kids to start school. You have already eaten up that money. And so that was the most upsetting thing for me. So you made over a lot of clothes for the kids. You're sewing all the time, making everything out of anything you can get your hands on.
That part about fish camp, I remember when we were out this summer and I was asking about fish camp and when you were younger and how that was just your life. And you were telling me about the work, just the long hours. And that's something I wanted, because you can have a romantic idea about fish camp, but fish camp today is different than fish camp then. So how would you describe to young people now how it was?
Being on fish camp that time, you had to get up early before, and because there was so much fish to cut, do the fish before they get soft, or you can't leave the fish in the water very long because they do get soft. So you get up early, take care of the fish, cutting, hanging, turning the other fish over that had been done the day before, moving the fish around in the smokehouse, keeping that fire going in the smokehouse almost 24 hours a day. Was a lot of work, but it was something you just had to do. Going up the river to get wood for the smokehouse. The fish was well taken care of. And get up, and when you get up in the morning, the first thing you do is build your fire in the house, put your coffee on, go out to the smokehouse and get the fire started. And from there you cook breakfast, feed the kids, and then while the men went to the fish wheel or nets, which they didn't have too many nets going, it was mostly fish wheel, then you're down at the fish rack, turning the fish over. And it's pretty hard to carry the fish up the bank. If you have your smokehouse up there, usually two people do it. So you wait till the man comes home, but then when he comes home, you just immediately start on the fish and making your salmon strips, your salmon billies, and you're eating fish, and then the last would be dogfish, and then you do all that, have lunch, and just lay down and rest for a while because it is the hottest part of the day. Then later on you start moving fish from the fish rack into the smokehouse, but all this time you're keeping that fire going in the smokehouse. Cooking for the dogs, I forgot to say, watering the dogs every morning, We boarded a bunch of dogs every year from Manly Hot Springs in Eureka for $3 a month. And
$3 a month.
A dog. Having these strange dogs with your own dogs made it very hard to leave fish camp. You're worried about these dogs getting loose and killing somebody else's dog, and you have to pay for that dog. And so you pretty much stayed right in fish camp. We would go to town and work on the garden. Some days we take some days off and go way up on the mountains, not mountains, but big hills. Take the whole family. There was no such thing as a babysitter in those days. You take the whole family and go up on this hill and stay all day long till you pick. We used to fix a pack, a gas can, 5-gallon gas can, and carry it on our back, and we get that can full of blueberries and then some, and you put your berries up in barrels, and because berries and dried fruit was our fruits, and we ate an awful lot of berries of all the different kinds. So we would do that once in a while. Stay up there all day long picking berries and building a campfire, cooking half-dried fish over the campfire. I have pictures of the whole family up there. Come down and while we're up there, we clean the berries. So it's already clean when we come home. There's always a breeze up there. In the fall time, families would go down to Garnet Island, stay for maybe a week, and get all your cranberries at once. So it really was fun doing things all together. Children weren't left behind. They were taken everywhere, and they had to participate in everything that was going on, too.
So summertime fun was really working.
Yeah, doing things together. When we were quite young, they used to give us the whitefish and tell us to cut those, and we had to make our own fish rack. We couldn't take it in the smokehouse to dry, but we had to make our own fish rack. And that's where you learn to cut fish.
When you put those berries in barrels, is it with sugar or something?
Mm-hmm.
Just layer sugar?
Ooh, layer berries, layer sugar, layer berries.
So the blueberries don't ferment? Or...
We all had cold storage, which wasn't... There was only one real good one in Rampart, but it served the purpose. And our salmon berries was put up like that, too.
The rest... The cold storage digging a hole?
Digging a hole in the hill. And then you have one door, another door, maybe the third door. And you put ice in there in the springtime. Had all kinds of good things to eat.
When you talked about cutting the fish, like how many fish would you brought in from the fish meal?
Oh dear, on 4th of July, that's when the big run come, and let's say there'd be 150 or more big king salmon.
Twice a day, they'd bring them in?
Mm-hmm. That's upsetting time for me. Towards the end, the men would drink in this part, you hungry. They would drink, and then here's all that fish, and we just go and stop the wheel. Huge, huge king salmon's over there.
When you were in the rapids or at Hess Creek, where were you fishing?
No, right around Rampart. Mm-hmm. Below Rampart, just a couple of miles below Rampart.
Other thing I was wondering about healthcare, something happened like to you when you were a kid. I remember you talking about an accident out. Maybe it was trap line, not fish camp. That.
We were very fortunate. There was there weren't very many accidents. I think because you were always told to be careful. Think before you do something. And so we were very fortunate. We didn't have too much real serious illnesses. In 1931, we got the first measles, and then later on the first whooping cough, and and that came from Tamna, because Tamna had the hospital. People came from all over to Tamna. It was brought in one way or the other. There was more traveling out of Tamna than there was in Rampart. Nobody had any reason to come to Rampart, hardly. once in a while, you'd have an accident and just had to do the best you can in using your head. How are you going to do this? And like the time one of the kids, or two of the kids, were getting dirt for their mud pies, and they found a different color dirt that would make the good brown icing. And they were chopping that. One was chopping the dirt, the other one was picking it up. And then, did I tell you this already?
Not on tape.
That's
the one I was thinking
about. When the one picking put her hand down to get this beautiful dirt, the other came down with the axe, and then Jenny's finger was cut almost off. The bone was broken, but inside was hanging on. And we were in Hess Creek then. At Hess Creek then, they brought her over to our tent, and the hardest thing to do was to try to get all that dirt out of that bone, because when the axe hit it, it didn't break off nice and clean. It was kind of ragged, and I couldn't get all the dirt off, and thank God it didn't bleed. There was hardly any blood. I don't know why it didn't bleed. And so the main thing we used to do is be sure that our basin is clean. And we always sterilized with boiling water. and I was using boiling water and Epsom salts, and because we didn't have hardly anything out there. And there was no way of getting her to Rampart because the ice was so rotten, ready to go out in the springtime. So I cleaned that bone and the flesh as well as I can, and thank God there was no bleeding. And I had the men make me some splints, and I put that on Jenny's finger, and as straight as I possibly can, and left it that way for 3-4 days. In the meantime, the ice went out on the Yukon River. So as soon as it was clear enough, her dad took her to Rampart, and I said, let somebody else take that splint off, because I wouldn't know what to do if it wasn't healed. Start knitting, or I just didn't know what to do. So they took her to Rampart, and I really don't know who took that bandage and splint off, and they said it was healing so beautiful. No infection, nothing. But I think because the axe must have been clean, the dirt wasn't contaminated. It was good, clean dirt, and whatever things that I had to use was clean, so no infection set in. She's never had any trouble with it. It just healed so beautiful.
And Jenny is?
Jenny Joseph at Rampart. And then that same spring, Kitty and I were fleshing a moose skin, and the flesher slipped and cut my finger right here. And you know so little about infections and such that you really don't have any fear. Oh, this might happen. At least for me. Well, the thing was, my thumb was swollen, but I didn't think anything about it. And the next morning I got up, and here was this red line going up. And, I didn't... I didn't know what that was. Oh, well, I know it's infected. Look at my arm. I guess I got to soak it. So I soak it all day, and apparently I didn't use hot water. How lucky. The water must have cooled off quick, because it wasn't off and on all day long I was soaking that thing, because this was swollen. And then I noticed that the red was going down this way. I'll tell you why I say this, because